CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle, and Tamar is with me in the studio. It's really nice to have you back here instead of in the middle of nowhere. I need to put a mic on for you.
That would be nice.
There we go.
Good punishment.
Yes. Go back to the middle of nowhere. Unradio, unscripted. And this morning, most definitely uncensored. There's strange noises around today.
Just, you know, we're growing, so
maybe it's aliens.
The sound of growth.
It's aliens. And with us, some really fascinating guests. Thank you for coming to share with us. Nina, a lifestyle slave.
Yes, hi.
And fascinating to have family, your daughter, Goth Saint.
Hi.
Good morning. And Eric's involved. So now Eric's come and screwed up our mics.
I didn't.
So Palesa will come and sort this all out.
It's a lesson in technicality.
Yeah, no, we've changed the channel. Don't interfere with things you don't know about, okay? Sit quietly.
I don't want to sit quietly. That's the moment you're like, I don't want to.
Yeah, sit quietly there, okay?
Is that... Oh.
There we
There's
go.
There's that gorgeous voice.
So now
voice.
We have another. Okay.
Glad you're happy.
Okay, but now you've switched the other mic off.
Yeah.
So can't we put it on one of these channels? Can we put it on... Yeah, but she's talking on that mic.
Let's see. Say hi.
Hello.
Oh, I see. Okay, so
Perfect.
Now we're all sorted. Thank you very much. Okay. My apologies to everyone. Okay, let's see if anybody is smart, because I thought this was really cute.
Ninja Sex, Chocolate Starfish, Twitter Bang, Calypagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
shrimping.
Dirty dictionary word.
Shrimping. Any idea, Eric?
Nope. No, really, like nothing.
Shrimping. Nothing. Shrimping. Take a guess.
Has to do with something.
Does it have to do
small.
With foreskin?
No.
Then I'm lost.
By the way, good call. Good call.
Yeah. Good call. Tamar, any clues?
Shrimping has to do with, you know, it's small. The way you eat it, maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. It's like eating somebody's...
Yeah, you're kind of... Yeah, you're there.
Clitty cocky.
No. First part's right.
Eating
okay,
something
you should
small.
See the photo, the image of it.
Right. Nina, any clues?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Nothing.
Goth Saint, any clues?
No idea.
Shrimping. Okay. So please message us on WhatsApp number 079-748-2090 and let us know what shrimping is. That would be really, really interesting. We are on WeChat. We are on Twitter. And shortly we will be on WhatsApp because that's disappeared from our screen. So shortly we'll be back.
All these things.
Yeah.
Dirty dictionary word.
That's true. We needed that. We needed that cue
again.
And maybe okay. Also it's because of the spirituality of this show. We have here things that. We have a lot of spirits here. I have energy. I can feel
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Okay. So, we have... Nina, you're a lifestyle slave.
That's right.
And on the line with us is your master, Tungsten. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Master Tungsten. Master Tungsten, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. How much? We don't have a lot of time with you. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's talk to you a little bit first. When did you get involved in this journey of being a lifestyle master?
It was about 10 years ago when I met my previous buddy. We journeyed into this lifestyle together. We figured out that we are not promised and no vanilla couple. We experimented a bit, and but very quickly our roles were defined, and we chose the old-fashioned household and lifestyle, where the man has got, or the dominant partner has got certain responsibilities, and the submissive, or in our case, female partner, has certain responsibilities, very much in line in the old-fashioned relationships of the 1950s and 60s.
So what are your responsibilities in this relationship?
As the master, I have to, first of all, protect my slave. I have to look after her well-being. I have to look after her soul. I need to make sure that she is happy and growing in the direction of our children.
So this is something that you are totally in charge of. You own this person.
Yes. I own the responsibility of looking after this person.
Okay. And that's almost like a like a full-time job in a way.
Yes, it can be. It can be. I have to plan our past together for the future. I have to make sure that all physical needs are taken care of. You're looking after the person, and you're taking. You're not taking control. You have received the control from the slave or the submissive. And now it is my responsibility to handle this control to the best of my ability.
So a lot of people in this world of BDSM kind of play in the world. You know, they put on outfits, they'll have experiences, they'll have certain plays. And for you, this is absolute 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week lifestyle.
That's correct. That's correct. It goes beyond the bedroom. Goes to every facet of life. Any interaction that the two of us have, any part of my life, so to speak, and her life, all of that has to do with control, the exchange of control, the looking after of the slave, the slave caring for the master, all of this. And 90% of this stuff happens outside the bedroom.
Mm.
So it's not just a sexual thing that people usually put it in context with.
Well, to be honest, we all are all with the bed, so the sexual part spills over into our daily lives. I mean, she's busy in the kitchen. I walk past and I spank it on the bum. That's multifold, you know. It's like, I'm here, I love you, but I also like your bum.
Okay, that's fascinating. Thank you very much, and thank you for a few minutes of your time. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Okay. Where did this start for you, Nina?
When I was a young girl in high school, I thought there was something wrong with me. We would sit in the gym class, for instance, and I would look at that equipment and I would imagine being strung up and flogged or whipped. And I always thought that there was something wrong with me. I mean, I was into this stuff long before I knew there was a name for it. And I had to kind of subdue it. because I thought there was something wrong with me. And carried on with my life and tried to live a normal vanilla life, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. When I got married, I tried to get my husband interested in this by introducing handcuffs and you know, floggers and whatever, and he wasn't interested. So I only started actually pursuing it when I split up with him some years ago, and I then discovered a whole community of people weird just like me. Yeah, so that was really cool.
How did you find these people in the beginning?
My girls made me join Facebook. Yeah.
So this is all their fault, actually.
Yeah, and on Facebook, I first got to meet some swingers, and it just escalated from there. I found my niche on Facebook and expanded from there. I was invited to my first swingers party, which I was very reluctant to go to, but they paid for it, so I went along to the swingers party, and the club owner and I were chatting that night, and he told me he's going to start having BDSM parties at the club. About 2 weeks later, I got an SMS from him saying, I would like you on the team of organizers. So that's how I got to meet these people, amazing people. And that was 7 years ago. So I've been working in the community and loving it for 7 years now.
Okay. And you, from the beginning, always in the role of a sub?
A slave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I've known there is a clear difference between a slave and a sub.
Mm-hmm.
A submissive submits, a slave obeys. And yeah, it's very different, the two roles. I'm a slave. I enjoy that.
Okay.
That's what I do here.
Okay. And what was the transition from kind of playing in that to living it?
I've always known what I wanted, I think. And so I've never really played casually, and I don't play if I'm not in a committed relationship. For me, it's very intimate. I need to be with a committed partner in order to enjoy it and the play side of things, the kink side of things. So, yes, I have had one or two casual plays. I'm uncomfortable with that, even though that doesn't lead to sex necessarily. In all honesty, being spanked on the butt for me turns me on. So, yes, a play is going to land up with some hardcore sex. I'm stuck.
Okay. Could you own somebody in this way?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. No, just it's not something that I've ever thought about doing.
Yeah,
it's just... Nah, we have to be equals. I feel that's
okay.
Me.
Okay.
We have to be equals, yeah.
Have you ever spanked anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And how was that for you?
It was weird.
Weird? Did you enjoy it?
It was one of those spontaneous. It just happened. Yeah, it was impulse.
And did she enjoy it?
I don't know. Like, I couldn't read the facial expression.
But did she ask?
No,
for
she
it?
Didn't. Okay. Yeah, it just happened. Like I said, it was impulse. And then I was like, oh shit, I did that.
Okay.
It was weird.
Well, and was the sex good afterwards?
If she didn't go home.
Well, I ended up with like all those scratch marks on my back that I still have to this day. So yeah, clawed me. Yeah.
So,
And what about being spanked?
No. Well, not in a sexual manner, but I've received a few.
From my parents.
Yeah, parents and like friends and like, you know, when you're just bending over trying to pick stuff up and they see the opportunity.
You have some interesting friends, Eric.
True.
Well, would that count as a spanking? Like just getting like one like really hard on the ass, does that count as, or is it just...
I think a second always needs to happen because, I mean, you got two butt cheeks, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, friends.
Nina, how is it to actually, how is it to say, so many years you knew who you are and you couldn't be?
Was that frustrating?
Yeah. Very much so, because I thought there was something wrong with me. Mm. And it was only when I came into the local community that I realized there are people from all walks of life doing this. So it had nothing to do with my childhood or anything like that. Nothing weird, nothing, you know, it was very, very frustrating.
It's just something inside of you that was there from early days.
Very much so. I believe I was born a slave. I really do. I don't know, you know, finding someone that you're compatible with has been a bit of a journey for me, but it's finally happened. And there is, oh, it's amazing. There's someone for everyone out there, even in this lifestyle.
And how long have you been in this relationship?
This one's brand new. We're actually busy drawing up our contract at the moment. But yeah, it's brand new. We met and we decided this. That's it. This is what we want. And because we're both so long in the tooth and we know what we want, mm-hmm. we skipped a couple of steps of protocol along the way and just jumped into it, you know.
Yeah. What are the steps along the way that you jumped, you skipped?
You know, there's sort of supposed to be a training period and then an under consideration period and that type of thing. And those that can be really drawn out. Mm. And when I mentor young ones coming in. When I mentor, I tell them to follow those steps because it's imperative that you actually do. But that's more for your, I think, your newbies that come along. They need to follow that step or else they're going to make mistakes. You know, so yeah,
you also get to know yourself in that yeah. journey.
Yeah,
yeah, because I think a lot of people like the idea of certain things, and I know in our world as well. You know, in the world of conscious sexuality, people come along; they like the idea of certain things, not knowing what everything involves.
Yeah,
and the steps along the way become really important.
Very much so, very very much so, because you've got, if you enter into something like this, you've got to be 150% sure that person is compatible with you, that you guys fit, that you can live this lifestyle and go into this journey enjoying both of you enjoying the trip. So it's important, Joe.
Okay. What was your first bondage experiences?
An actual life play? Is that what you're asking
me?
When I first came into the lifestyle here in the community, I did get a master that I had an agreement with, where I would go to him once every week and he would just do a couple of plays with me so that I could get the experience. It was nice getting the experience, but it definitely wasn't what I wanted, you know. But he took me through my paces and, you know, flogging and spanking and hog tie and all that type of thing. So it was nice experiencing those things. But it's definitely, for me personally, far nicer to experience that with someone that you care about and you trust. That is why, for me, it's important to be in a committed MS dynamic before I will actually take that step and start playing.
Okay. So would you call that love? When you talk about a committed, connected space, would you call that love?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, in our case, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the important element for you. That's the dynamic.
And I think more importantly, and people need to know this, is trust. The trust. You've got to have trust. I mean, I'm putting my life in the hands of this person. I need to trust him. And giving that trust means so much to them, to your top as well, you know. So trust is imperative. You can be in love with someone and not trust them.
So
you know?
Part of this has been, or part of this journey, is that you are giving yourself to this person fully to do with almost as they please. Is
pretty
that
much,
right?
Pretty much so, yeah.
So if he wants to give you to somebody else for whatever, he can do that?
Unless it's in the contract.
That's right. I was going to say, he can, but we stipulate in the contract beforehand. In other words, my hard limits are going to go into that contract.
So what does that mean for our listeners, hard limits?
Hard limits are things that you're just not prepared to do or go near. And like sketch, for instance, brown showers are things that it just...
So
like,
explain that. So brown showers are...
I think
somebody
everybody understands.
Pooing on you or you pooing on somebody.
Yeah. So those for me are like really hard limits. Fortunately for my master, same story. It's a hard, it's not something that he, so you've got to find that in a person. The things that you like and dislike have to be with that person as well, or else someone's going to be unhappy at the end
so
of the
day. So you need to really reveal yourself and be in authenticity.
Yeah, very much so. You got to be very transparent. You wear your heart on your sleeve, and the honesty and the communication is just very, very important. It really is. In the beginning, when I first came out, I battled with some of the honesty. You sit and you talk with BDSMers and they just they call a spade, you know what I mean? And like, we're sitting in a restaurant and they're talking, they use the C word, and I'm like, okay, sorry, I battle to say these things.
Yeah. Okay. The C word.
Yeah.
Say it. Come, Nina, you know you can. No, I'm kidding.
It's my flower.
Yeah, it's your flower.
Your flower. Okay. Yeah. So I battled in the beginning with that, just the openness of these people, you know, and talking about such intimate things was like, for me, I'm blushing, you know. No, I'm over that. Although you saw me blush the other night. But yeah, I'm kind of getting used to it. Okay. I write short erotic stories, and I don't hold back in those stories. But don't ask me to read it back to you, because I'm going to say the C word and the F word. And but it's there in my stories.
Yeah, that's ingrained.
So there's a fascinating dynamic here. God Saint, you know things about your mother, obviously, that very few other daughters know about their mother.
Yeah.
How is that for you?
It was in the beginning very difficult, but we've always had a close relationship, so it's actually, after a couple of years, you get used to it.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been a part of her journey from the beginning.
Yes.
And as she's changed and developed and grown, she's shared that with you.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. How's that been for you to see your mother in that space? That's a very different mother-daughter relationship.
No, it's actually been good, because we've seen her change into a better person.
Yeah.
She's a much better person than she was when she was like married to my dad and didn't do this stuff. So it's just amazing to see her like this. And now with her master, it's just amazing to see someone that loves her so much. Mm. So
that's incredible, good. You know, because so many kids and parents put judgments on their either on their parent or on their child for the lifestyle that they have chosen.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, me and my sister have been going to BDSM parties with her for a while, and BDSMers are so normal, actually. So it's like,
but that's the thing. If you go to almost any sexual function, whether it's a swingers party, whether it's a bondage party, and you take a cross-section of people, you will find people from every single profession there.
Yeah.
From all walks of life, you will find people from early 20s up to over 60. And you will just find this incredible range of people. You'll find thin people and you'll find big people. And you will find really the spectrum you'll find in South Africa.
Yeah.
And that's quite an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome, actually. Yeah.
How much of your sex life have you shared with your mother?
Nothing
that's
whatsoever.
Okay, it's non-existent.
Still think I'm a virgin.
Fine.
They haven't even got me masturbating. I'm a champion. Been hiding.
You don't need that.
No, I'm kidding. No, nothing. No, I mean it's not something we speak about like openly.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a family, it's weird. My brothers, though, I've spoken to my brothers about it and stuff, but my parents, nah. My dad apparently caught me once.
Yeah.
I was like, you're lying, man. I wasn't doing that. I was playing PlayStation.
It's my own PlayStation. Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay. It is.
Nichols had to photograph my butt several times. Yeah. I love my bruises. I wear them proudly. She has sat on the floor in the club already photographing my butt for me, because I want to see if the bruises look
are
nice.
Showing.
Okay. Have you had any experiences yourself?
Yes, I have, actually.
And?
Yeah.
From a dom or a sub point of view?
I just do like needle plays and stuff. So,
where you were actually doing this to somebody?
No, they do it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've just had different needle plays, corsets done on me with needles and stuff.
So that's quite extreme.
Yeah, it is. Suspension as well.
Yes, and I had a rope suspension one.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like trying the different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have an idea of what this actually does involve.
Yes.
Funnily enough, I'm scared of needles, and she has the needle place.
Okay.
You know, so she's representing this.
So this really is like an all-in-the-family thing.
If she ever does enter the lifestyle, she's going to be a sadistic mistress, because she is a sadist of note.
Yeah.
So she'll definitely never take a submissive role.
And that's something, you know, Jonty, I don't know, Eric is sitting here. I don't know if your brain is on fire already, what's going on. It's, you know, so much of normality, you know, you said, and I'm quoting you on that one, that you really thought something was wrong with you, you know, and nothing's wrong with you. Yeah. You're a wonderful person, you know, you're a caring person, I'm sure, to your daughter. And then again, it's so difficult to percept that, you know, to go with a person that is called your mother, you know.
What we think of normality is often simply a consensus that people in any given group have decided on. So even in the world of physics now, what's coming out is simply that our world exists because of the consensus that we have given it. We all have a slightly different perception of that,
yep.
But everything in our world exists because we have decided that that's what it is. We've decided that's what reality is. So political systems, religious systems, social systems, we've simply said that's what is, and therefore it is. And as soon as we step outside of that, and as soon as we change that, the reality of it changes. And it's even, there's some amazing experiments being discovered now. For example, your emotions can create your reality. Quite simply. Mm. So as soon as you start to feel differently about something, it changes. And the act of observation changes certain things. So as soon as we decide that a relationship is going to be different, that's what it becomes. And then we get into the realm, the beautiful realm of what could be instead of what should be. And what should is simply a judgment that we have accepted from parents, from religion, from different aspects of society, of the way that a life should be lived. That parents and children do not share these kind of conversations or experiences. And in essence, who is saying there's a right or wrong?
Mm.
It simply says the more open we are, possibly the better experiences we could create.
Mm. Or at least not live in a line, authentic.
That's it. And that's the authenticity. Mm. You know, so with my daughter, for example, there's a lot of detail of my life that I have never shared. But she knows what it is that I do and has known from the very beginning. That was never hid.
Mm.
As a teenager, her response was, yuck. But as she's grown over the years, she's come to see the value of that, the impact that it has on people and on their lives. And that becomes the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's simply a decision that we make. But there's another interesting that you're looking like.
I need to go. Yeah,
you need to go.
That's my thing. Yeah, but I'm gonna listen to it in the car. Like I'm invested now. I've listened.
Well, we're really glad that you came to sit with us for a few minutes again. Welcome. We have missed you, Eric. Don't
worry. Next week I'll be here for the full show. I promise.
Okay, I'm afraid then you're gonna sit here all on your own.
Yeah.
You can sit here. I'm in Cape Town next week. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna teach.
Well, when you have a show again, I'll be here.
So you can. Do you want to do the sex show next week, Eric?
No. What am I going to talk about? Yeah, so that one time I had sex.
Yeah,
that's about it, folks. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, you can give every little detail of your sexual encounter.
No, I'll be here. I promise. The next one.
Eric, you show me that there is hope.
Love you guys.
There is hope. People are willing to sit here and listen, which is great.
There's a different dynamic here. Goth Saint, you are involved in a church movement.
Yes.
Okay. What's your role in that?
Well, it's mainly missions and children's ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
Have you been there involved for a long time in that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How do you bring these two worlds together within yourself?
I don't really have to. It comes naturally.
Mm.
It's just the way I was brought up to be myself.
Mm.
So
they're both expressions of who you are.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing because, again, we create these boxes that said, if you do this, you can't do that.
Mm.
So you can't be a religious person and have experiences in the world of bondage as well.
Yeah.
Where in essence, they're all the expression of who you are.
Yes.
Exactly. And there's incredible freedom in that.
Yeah, there is.
And again, we put an enormous judgment on the fact that if you found out that your religious leader was involved in these, does it make them any less?
The reality is that our spiritual or religious leaders are involved in so many different, and actually the non-healthy version of lifestyles, because where they're not living openly with themselves,
yeah.
So it comes out.
And as soon as you suppress it, you give it more power, and that comes out again and again. Mm-hmm. Pastors from all denominations who are caught doing all sorts of things, whether it's with kids, whether it's with other adults, whether it's with hookers. You know, one of the biggest things is a judgment that so many religious leaders put on being gay.
Mm.
And there's not a week that goes past that some religious leader is not caught with another man.
Yeah.
And just fucking be who you are in this world. But it challenges us enormously.
I battled in the beginning when I, because I'm also born again Christian, and I battled in the beginning to bring myself together, you know, to take these two vast differences and marry them and, you know, just bring them together. But I did. I managed pretty easily. And I do get challenged. I do get the people that come to me and say to me, "How can you call yourself a Christian? You know what? you know, I just believe that, again, in this lifestyle, it takes all kinds of people. People from all walks of life that are in this lifestyle. And, you know, don't judge me. Mm. You know, I've been challenged. But it really doesn't faze me. It doesn't change how I feel about my beliefs being in this lifestyle.
What does God want from you as a pleasure being?
Well, you know, you just have to look at what is the Book of Solomon, no?
The Song of Solomon.
Yes. I mean, apparently, you know, depending on how you read that or what eyes you're looking at it through, it can be quite erotic. So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't talk about it. I don't Bible punch. I don't talk about my beliefs. And I expect the same in return from everybody else. Mm. Because we have got all kinds out there. You know, and there are those that will try and challenge the fact that we call ourselves Christians. How can you call yourself a Christian? You know what? Leave me alone. I'm not fighting with you because you're an agnostic or you know, whatever. You know,
just because you're doing all the sins that are written not to do, like cheating on your wife or stealing or, you know, telling lies.
You say that. I mean, I've been asked this question by swingers, for instance, and I'm thinking, I don't sleep around. I don't have other partners. I only sleep, you know, have sex.
Plenty of swingers are religious from all denominations, and they go to synagogue on Friday night and they go to church on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the time they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Working in the lifestyle so many years, I can write a book. I've seen some things that are, I mean, really hilarious. Mm. But, yeah.
When your mother first brought this up, what was your response?
Well, I was shocked in the beginning because, like, when you hear the word BDSM, you immediately think of all the dodgy stuff you see on Google and all that stuff. But she explained it to us from her point of view, and I was like, okay, this doesn't sound that bad, actually. Yes, you've got some of the stuff that's, like, what you see on Google or on movies and stuff, but it's not all that. So I was pretty impressed that it's actually normal.
Okay.
I wanted to show them BDSM through my eyes. Mm. I didn't want them to go online and start researching it.
Definitely.
That's why I was open with them and said to them, listen, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm into. And I showed them through my eyes. I took them and introduced them to some of my friends. And their first reaction was, but Mom, they're so normal. Mm. Yes, they are.
Isn't it the first thing we do? We compare. Mm-hmm. Just want to check how normal is this situation.
Oh. And that's an incredible, it's a fascinating word, that normal. There's a beautiful thing. You need to Google it. Gabor Maté, GaborMatte. And he is a psychiatrist, I think. Has the most amazing little video clip out on YouTube on what normality is. And the fact that in so many different societies and tribes, what we consider abnormal or what we consider beyond normality is normal and even celebrated.
Human development through the
And
he shows it through science.
Yeah, but there's a little, it's about a 2 or 3 minute little definition that he gives on normality, which talks about the fact that in some tribes and in some societies, that's actually celebrated, and we create a space for people to be who they are. We have just created an incredibly narrow definition of normality. Mm. So, for example, my good friend Galen Fuss, who is a therapist in America dealing with fetish and kink, wrote some stuff and was actually taken off some Facebook groups, some psychology Facebook groups, for talking about kink. And he has brought something to the fore called kinkophobia, where a lot of therapists are judging and considering kink and fetish behavior as abnormal.
Wow.
So in the 50s, for example, being gay was considered abnormal by the psychology fraternity. And even I went to a meeting of sexologists a while ago where gay was called a lifestyle.
Right.
Not something that who you are inside, you know, and there was an attempt to start regulating kink and fetish behavior and some of the aspects of Tantra. And it's so out of touch with who we are and putting normality in such a narrow little band, instead of the fact that you can be all of these things and they don't cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
They're about the fullness and the authenticity of who you are.
Mm.
And that's incredibly beautiful and incredibly powerful to be able to live that.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think for me, the eye-opener was when I started working in the community and working with other people, like-minded people, and just seeing these people, and that's the only time that they can be authentic or be who they are is when they come to one of these parties, because society and your job and whatever, you know, your bosses don't accept it. I've heard of people being fired from their job because bosses found out that they're into it.
Sure.
So being at the parties and seeing these people come out and have fun, it's an amazing thing. It really and truly is, because they can be themselves. You know, they walk in there if they want to take their clothes off and walk around naked, or, you know, walk around topless, or, you know, whatever. And it's just, it's so amazing to see people have fun and just be who they are.
You know,
it really is beautiful.
There's a question that I keep on posing because it's fascinating. If you knew somebody standing for political office was into either swinging, was into kink, would you still vote for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we look at like what happened in the American elections, where people had full knowledge of all of the financial disasters that Donald Trump had committed, but still was elected president. That's
only
okay.
The financial problems,
because we're forgiven that. We're forgiven so
easy
many
to
things.
Crimes,
but as soon as there's something sexual,
because those crimes are normal.
We put the greatest judgment on sexuality.
You know, when you look at the source, which is control, religious people, well, let's say people that understood the power of religion, because it's, you know, something that you can't, it's something so mysterious, so great, so huge to understand the power of life and so on. And the idea of judgment and the idea of being normal, which is all about control. And the reason that we all need to be the same, because that calms us down, that we think, okay, there's something greater. Somebody tells us how to be. So if everybody's doing that, there's some kind of illusion of control, illusion of everything's fine. Everything is normal. You know, it's all these terms are, if you actually check them, check those terms. But what will happen if I'll knock on somebody's door and I'll see that he likes, you know, that's his kind of liking. And then I knock on somebody else's door and they believe in something completely different. It will confuse me on a daily basis, which, by the way, will help me grow immensely, because I will be exposed to more and more options and I can try my own thing and evolve. But in control, there is the idea of freezing everything as it is.
And that's all that it is. And I'm going to be flippant for a moment, but there's real truth in this. Sex and drugs and rock and roll will set you free. You know, but it's true, because it takes us somewhere different and somewhere beyond. And even in the world of psychedelics, for example, for so long these have been suppressed, and now some of the amazing health benefits of microdosing on psychedelics is coming out as incredible help for depression. There's no side effects like a lot of the antidepressants do. They don't numb you. They don't switch you off.
If it was explored properly.
Well, now
was,
it is being.
Yeah, there will be more money going into research.
There's this enormous explosion of research into psychedelics that for the last 30 or 40 years has been suppressed. And people are really looking to explore and to free themselves. And we live in this paradoxical world at the moment where governments and systems are holding on to control so tightly because it's slipping away more and more and more.
So you need to use stronger forces and more scaring you more and more to get the same reaction, which used to be just enough to go to church on Sunday and just say people. Just be good and keep listening to your leader, and it's going to be fine.
Absolutely.
And there are benefits. There are benefits to be in a flock and to help each other. It doesn't mean, but those values of helping one another, being kind, being, you know, being resourceful, being helpful to other people, has nothing to do to what is your sex liking and what is your authenticity when it comes to expression, and you don't have
and
to hurt
idea
other
of,
people.
Of community, which is a huge thing in growth and expansion and finding a place that you belong. Mm. Because so many people in our world are isolated. And that's
most
actually
of us.
Become one of the there's a beautiful new model of addiction. That addiction exists because people are isolated and disconnected. Mm-hmm. And once those connections are made, a lot of addictive behavior tends to absolutely disappear. Mm. And that's finding a place to belong.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done and are part of.
Yeah, very much so. And you were talking about control and being yourself and experiencing. Within this lifestyle, I mean, when you're busy in a play, for instance, and it's intense, you are releasing, it's like a pressure, you know, your whole week just lifted off your shoulders. Yeah, you de-stress unbelievably, both parties that are playing, because you're both playing together for different reasons. But the end result, I mean, I don't know if you've heard about the term subspace.
Mm-hmm.
Flying.
There is no...
It's an expanded state of consciousness.
There's no synthetic drug that beats that.
Hmm. That is 100% true.
Last weekend, for the first time, I taught the most beautiful workshop called... The Essential Meditation of Touch. And it was using touch as a tool to get into a meditative and expanded space. And there was somebody there who is a sub and said at the end of it that it's exactly the same space that it took her to. It took her into the subspace and it was using touch as a vehicle for this. Mm. And it's the same thing that we want pathways into expanded states of consciousness, deeper into ourselves, into connecting with somebody, with something more, something outside of ourselves, something that's spiritual. That's what this gives us. So we've got an interesting message here. It says there are a lot of ties between BDSM and religion. Flogging or self-flogging has been used in Christianity for ages as a form of penance. Even the famed Martin Luther was known to frequently take part in self-flogging. But it's not only for penance, because that takes people to an expanded state.
That's right.
Mm. What do you think about that? Expanded states of consciousness and religion and bondage and all sorts of things like that. So if you've experienced needle play, that's quite an extreme experience. Where did that take you within yourself?
Well, the only reason I actually get the needle plays and that I get it done is there's only so many piercings and tattoos a person can get.
Yes.
And every time I get the piercing or the tattoo, it feels like I'm getting this release of all my anxiety and depression and stuff. So I should get the piercings done for that. So I've never gone into space, subspace, or anything like that. Yeah. But, yeah.
So we have to ask then, how many piercings do you have?
She's counting.
Six.
Not enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can see
seven tattoos. So.
Okay. So we can see two piercings. Where are the others?
I've got my nose piercing, my tongue piercing, my lip piercing.
Oh, so there's three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And the other three?
Oh, my ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
She hasn't gone there.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. BDSM. Nina, do you have any piercings?
She dragged me off when I was 51.
Yeah. A tongue.
Can you imagine? Okay. Age 51. Okay. She dragged me off of that jar and just my normal ears and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nipples and genitals don't interest you?
No, thank goodness I was going to, but thank goodness I didn't, because Master does not like piercing.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Can I ask you, Nina, regarding pain? This is a question that I think I had when I started walking in those journeys, in those worlds. What is the limit of pain? How much pain? Well, what is orange? What is red for each person? And is it something that has been discussed? Yeah. And for our listeners, red and orange are the usually safe words that you say in a play. Well, generic safe words. But for you, when did you know how much pain are you going to be willing to be in? And is it something that has to be involved in BDSM play or being a lifestyle slave?
Is it about pain?
Yeah. For me, pain is a turn on. And I was dubbed early on already as a pain slut. And I don't want to correct them. They shouldn't be listening to this. I don't see myself as a pain slut or as a masochist. I actually think I'm a bit of a sissy, don't you think?
No.
But it's a case of just, you know, when you're with someone you trust, then they know your boundaries and they push just beyond that. And you carry on pushing and pushing until it's now no. But with regards to safe words, I've never called a safe word and I don't ever want to, because that I feel is this trust thing that I'm so big on. I trust him and he...
You will not take advantage of it.
He won't hurt his toy. Yeah. He's not going to break his toys, you know. So I won't call a safe word. He knows how to read me and my body and my reactions. And I'll shout, ow, and I, with the F word thrown in there, and he knows that it's not serious, you know. And he knows how to read me. He'll know when I shout, ow, and I mean it. You know, that, okay, this. But it never gets that far. Because when you're with someone that you know so well, he knows, you know, how far to go. I mean, there comes a time where I want more. And he'll say, no, you've had enough. Now, enough's enough. But, you know, so that is what a good master does, is that he knows. They know how to read you. They know how to read your responses, your reactions, the tone in your voice, and that kind of thing. And,
what comes up for me is that, first of all, a person is much more aware, a person who plays, and definitely not only the master but also the slave, people that are aware to their limits, to where they are at, responsible people. And the second thing that comes up for me is the fact that I see you girls sitting here, mother and daughter, and the daughter is fully aware of what her mother is going through, and there is such honesty. And I'm thinking how much we as children, I don't have kids, so how much we as children deny to see our parents in pleasure, whatever makes them have pleasure, if it's pain or BDSM or if it's just beautiful pleasure. I'm a sensual slut, so it's a different story, but beautiful pain or beautiful sensation, whatever it is, that we're denied to see our parents in that. You know, we caught our parents having sex, it's a trauma. You know, instead of understanding, you actually... God sent, you can actually see your mother in a place that she's fully aware of her needs. She's fully aware of what makes her comfortable. You know, she's sharing that. And that is something that you can learn, maybe, you know, you can reflect in your mind. Then, okay, I can have as much as what I need as well.
Yeah.
We have interesting conversations, the girls and I. We really and truly do. And we laugh a lot about it, but they will come to me. I remember maybe a year ago, we had been drinking a bit of wine, and my eldest said to me, okay, Mom, tell me about cock worship. Now, in BDSM, you don't do BJs, okay? There's no such thing as a BJ. It's cock worship. That is meant to be worshipped genuinely, okay, from a slave's point of view. And we sat on my bed laughing our heads off, and I was explaining to them the art of cock worship. And it was a fun conversation, wasn't it?
Did your mother teach you things that day?
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's an interesting thing, you know, because where do we expect our kids to get their sexual skills from? And they grow up with such myth and misinformation and misunderstanding and such little knowledge about actual sex. You know, we might give them kind of bigger picture stuff, but actual physical information becomes really fascinating.
I remember when she was 8 years old, I was telling them how to enjoy whipped cream and cherries and a dessert on a naked man's body. And she stuck both her fingers in her ears and started shouting, I can't hear you, la, 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 and ran out the room. She didn't want to hear about this.
But at age 8, that's kind of an appropriate response.
Definitely.
Yeah, she was a tomboy. And she grew up subsequently.
In terms of being a slave, what are the decisions that you will make about your own life? What areas of life will you make decisions for yourself?
Effectively, none.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've now given my life to this person. Mm. So effectively, he makes all decisions. Everything. We go to a restaurant, he orders for me. I have no idea what he's ordering for me. Mm. He said to me the other day when we busy doing the contract now, I need to ask permission to eat. So even if we're apart, I would have to WhatsApp him and say to him, may I eat now, please, sir? And it can. It can go as far as them choosing what clothes I wear every day, mm-hmm. What makeup I wear, et cetera, et cetera. So it's every aspect of your life is he should or will be in control of, including finances. Some slaves I've read object to that. That's where they draw the line. But in my training, I've been taught that even that belongs to your master. Mm. So anything I earn is his.
Do you work, Nina?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's your choice to work or with his consent as well?
Well, it's with his consent that I'm doing what I'm doing because it's in the lifestyle. Mm. So he's happy to support me in that because he knows my passion with regards to what I do in the local community. And I really don't want to stop that. I think that would be a problem for our dynamic if he had to say to me I had to stop that because I'm really passionate about it, but because it's in the lifestyle and thing, he's giving and people he knows as well, he's known for years, so I'm fortunate we're very, very compatible, we fit very well together. So I'm really fortunate with this, but I have to just share something with you quickly. The first time he takes me out, we go to one of these restaurants, obviously can't mention the name, and you order what you want to eat on the little slippy here, yes, in front of you, and so he takes mine and he starts writing down my order and everything, and I see the waiter look at this and like looks at me. And he goes off. So a little bit later, the waiter comes back. He's got my tray. And he says to me, here's yours, slave Nina. Here's yours, Master Tungsten. And I'm sitting there. And I know everybody inside is watching us and looking at us. You know, we're sitting in this restaurant. And I was kind of thrown. The second time, same restaurant, another branch. I'm now used to being called slave Nina by the waiters.
Oh, okay. They're okay with it. They're just fine. But you think about it, that if you get married... If you get married, you are also, you're committed to one another financially. Okay, today, because of so many people are allowing fear control them. So because, X amount of people have chose badly their marriages, they won't get married or they will keep separate accounts and whatever because they will take advantage or actually there's no honesty and no truth and maybe no trust in the end of the day.
Mm. And so the openness creates a very different dynamic.
Mm. Normally, a master will give an allowance.
Yes.
So whatever you earn goes straight to him, and then he gives an allowance. You get an allowance to. I mean, they supply everything, obviously. And then you get a personal allowance. So we'll see where this goes with him and out in the contract. But people that I know, that's what they do. They give allowances.
Shrimping?
This is shrimping. So, shrimping is licking, sucking, or biting someone's toes.
Just a normal idea for Friday.
Oh,
morning.
Nicole.
She hates it.
Yeah.
She's got a thing about toes. She hates it.
So that's what shrimping is. So next week, I will be in Cape Town, and I'm really looking forward to meeting some of our listeners.
There will be a show.
There will be a show.
Yeah.
And I'm doing three beautiful workshops on the Friday night and two on the Saturday. Information is on our Facebook page. If people want more information about this world, about you, where do they go?
Soundbarrier.club.
Soundbarrier.club. We would like to, in the future, continue this conversation because it really is fascinating. Thank you very much for coming to share with us and to be so open.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
And I wish you all so much pleasure.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.